In this week's Big Question Debate, we have two analysts who will answer your questions and respond to your views on whether you support or oppose the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, and why. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, October 23rd. Usually we have two guests debating an issue in our Big Question every Wednesday at this time. But today, as we release the results of our Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey on how we feel about the Affordable Care Act, which is causing so much debate in Washington and around the country, you can join in with your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And when you are on Facebook, you can also find the results of the Wisconsin survey that we conduct with the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute every spring and every fall. During this hour, we're also going to talk a little bit, too, about current issues in the news regarding the Affordable Care Act, including the problems with the health care exchange website that the president talked about on Monday. There also are Republican calls to fire the Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, and more. So we'll welcome your comments as we talk about the Affordable Care Act. Let me welcome our guests, Wendy Scattergood, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere, and an associate at the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. Good morning again, Wendy.
Good morning.
And Ed Miller is with us as well. Ed Miller is a professor of political science at UW Stevens Point, and he does a lot of, he studies up on healthcare policy, and he joins us by phone, too. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
All right, let's, Wendy, we just heard Patty Murray's story. It looks like, for the most part, more than half of us in Wisconsin approve of the Affordable Care Act.
Right, that's 54% this fall said that they either strongly or somewhat support the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. When we asked this a year ago in the fall of 12, it was 43%. So we're seeing an increase over time, and nationally we're seeing that kind of trend as well.
Well, does that surprise you at all, Wendy?
No, I don't think so. I think as people find out more about the parts and more parts of it are being implemented, I think that people are finding out, you know, that it may be helpful. Of course, there's a huge partisan divide.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of that going around.
Yeah, so among Republicans, 65% strongly oppose.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty key. Only 18% of Republicans either somewhat or strongly approve of it compared to the 85% of Democrats. And, of course, that key independent, the moderates, 61% either somewhat or strongly approve.
So, and we also asked about some of the individual parts of the Affordable Care Act, getting more approval of those individual parts.
It's actually pretty similar to what we found when we asked this in the fall of 2009. So this was, we asked these questions when it was, first, when it was just being debated in Congress. And so, yeah, and, you know, we can talk about this a little bit more because one of the really surprising findings is really the main difference was on the public option question, which, of course, is not part of the current Affordable Care Act. We asked offering a federal government insurance plan to everyone similar to Medicare coverage for people over 65 that would compete with private insurance policies. 70% of our current survey said that they favored that policy.
That is interesting. Well,
that's, yeah, perplexing. Yeah.
What did we ask about the individual mandate?
Yeah, we did. And that came in at 60% favor that. And in the fall of 2009, it was 59%. So there's really no difference over time there, but definitely a majority there. And of course, you know, what's interesting here is that if you look at Republicans, 42% of Republicans say they favor the universal coverage. Of course, it's 80% for Democrats and it's 64% for independents, so that 42% was pretty surprising. And then, again, in the other parts we asked about creating the limits on lawsuits, 70% of Republicans agree with that part of it, compared to 57% of Democrats. And then pre-existing conditions was, and covering that, was the highest approval, 81% overall. 92% of Democrats favor that, 77% of Republicans favor that being in the bill, and 71% of independents favor that.
So, Wendy, first, and then I'll get Professor Miller to chime in. Why did the government get shut down over the Affordable Care Act if we have numbers like this?
Yeah, people were not happy about that. I mean, even the people that opposed it didn't necessarily think that, shutting down, doing a partial shutdown of the government was a very good idea, as we said. And when we actually asked, do you think it was, you know, approve or disapprove of partially shutting down the government over differences in the Affordable Care Act, 84% say that they disapproved of it, so which is much higher than the actual approval of the Affordable Care Act itself. So people definitely want those separated. We asked another question about should it be separate from the debt ceiling. 74% said that it should be kept separate from that. So people have a very strong overall opinion, whether they sort of agree with the Affordable Care Act or not.
All right. Well, Professor Miller, what stands out to you? What do you make of these survey results?
Well, the survey results reflect the national survey as well. People, and especially the individual items on the Affordable Care Act, people tend to like them. And when, you know, where you get the controversy is when you talk about the full act, or particularly if you call it Obamacare, then people don't like it. But if it's the Affordable Care Act, they seem to have a positive attitude, and they clearly have a positive attitude about the items in it. Of the survey, as Wendy has said, the one that caught my eye most notably is the 70% who would like a Medicare for all option. That's the most interesting. That's a high figure. And I find that to be the most interesting outcome of the survey.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because some of the Republican opposition to the Affordable Care Act is that this is, you know, socialism, and that, you know, and it's really it really isn't, is it, Professor Miller?
No, it's not socialism. Either they don't know the definition of socialism, or they're using some symbolism. Socialism is ownership of the means of production. And in fact, this act is actually a Republican act. It's based upon private insurance, a private market, and individual responsibility. And that's all been within the Republican ideas. And so it's basically a Republican approach. If they had done a Democratic approach, that would have been more of a public option kind of thing. And people say, for example, Canada is a socialist health care system. That's not true. Canada's health care system is private. There is one thing that's socialist that the government runs, and that's the insurance. But in this country, there is not going to be any government insurance, except for, of course, Medicare and Medicaid. But other than that, it's all private.
The individual mandate at the end of the showdown in Washington was the point of contention, in that the Republicans were insisting on a delay in the individual mandate. Talk some about that, Professor Miller. Why that individual mandate is so important?
Right, and they were arguing. Republicans were arguing fundamentally that they wanted to delay the individual mandate because the mandate on businesses to buy insurance or pay into a fund was delayed. But the business mandate only affected a very small percentage of businesses, because the businesses that are subject to it, most of which pay for insurance now. And so what we're talking about is a small number, and the issue there was, which was never talked about, the issue wasn't that they had to do it. The issue was that it was difficult for them to get the computer system to document it, and that was what they were complaining about, so they delayed that a year. But the individual mandate would cause problems, and that is without the individual mandate, if you require insurance companies to take everybody without pre-existing conditions, they may not have a sufficient base to essentially spread the risk. And so without the individual mandate, insurance companies would be there, and they would say, well, we have to insure these individuals with pre-existing conditions, various conditions. That would cause the price of this insurance to go through the roof. The whole principle of insurance is that you spread the risk.
Yeah. So do you see the Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act off the table now when Congress tries to come up with another budget deal and another deal to raise the debt ceiling?
I think some are going to, I don't know if it's going to be, certainly the principal item as has been discussed as, inhibiting the debt ceiling and the budget. But I'm sure some members are going to mention it since the House had voted to repeal it now about 43 times.
So why do you think, Professor Miller, that even though, like our survey shows, and you say national surveys agree that we generally support the Affordable Care Act, why are we seeing this showdown?
Well, it's interesting. I don't know. Mm. They have picked this one out, and this one seems to be a very stickling point. But one thing that hasn't been discussed very much, there's a possibility that one of the reasons that have caused the Republicans and some Republicans in Congress to go after the Affordable Care Act is the tax provisions of it. There are certain tax provisions in it, one of which has to do with Medicare. And in this particular one in Medicare, President Bush had increased Part B, and this is what people buy. They don't have to buy it. As a matter of fact, it's voluntary. But when you're 65 and you're not receiving an insurance policy from your employment, you can buy Part B, which is outpatient. Under President Bush, they added an additional amount for people who are high income. So there is an add-on for people with high income. That's the first time there was an income test for Part B. For Part A, there was not. So everybody, and Part A is what you pay now when you're working. And that's what comes off your check, and it's called Medicare. Well, everybody paid the same percentage. And if you're working, you pay half of it, and the employer pays half of it. Self-employed, you pay both of those. Well, in order to ensure that trust fund remains viable, in the Affordable Care Act, there's an added percentage. It's a small percentage, but there's an added percentage for those who are high income. And not only is it a high percentage, but Medicare, like Social Security, is only based upon salary income. This percentage is based upon all income. So it would be stocks, bonds, and so forth. And I believe, I wonder whether that's one of the major driving forces behind a 43-time attempt to repeal it.
Interesting. Well, we will see what listeners think. We will welcome your thoughts or questions about the Affordable Care Act. What do you favor the Affordable Care Act or oppose it, and why? We'll talk some about the issues with the health care law's website. Do you think that this points to a bigger problem, or is it just an isolated issue that can be corrected? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are discussing the results of the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey on the Affordable Care Act. It finds our results find that we generally support the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. Our guests are Wendy Scattergood. She is an associate at the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute, and Ed Miller, professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. In this week's Big Question, we are talking with two analysts who are talking with us about the Affordable Care Act, and we are discussing the results of the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll on the Affordable Care Act. Do we support it or not? And according to our survey, we do. a majority of us do support the Affordable Care Act. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tom from Wausau emails, Obamacare is a very poor, even tragic attempt to solve a significant socioeconomic problem when such a proven solution is so near at hand. That is, to let those with pre-existing conditions or those who cannot afford health care to buy into Medicare on a sliding scale premium based upon income. Well, a reaction to that, Professor Miller?
Well, President Clinton had offered a plan. It wasn't as geared in that that specific, but it was individuals who were laid off or whatever, who were, I believe it were 55 and older, and it allowed them to, it would have allowed them, it was not accepted, to buy into Medicare. The pre-existing conditions, people with pre-existing conditions buying into Medicare, would pose a problem for Medicare. Because Medicare does represent older people by definition. Most of the people in Medicare are 65 and older. There are some people with disabilities under 65 in Medicare. But given that the older population, which is a higher cost medical population, to have further people with conditions buying into Medicare could cause some financial problems, additional financial problems for Medicare.
Well, we have lots of callers with different related topics that they want to bring up, but I wanted to go back to Wendy to see if we, is there anything else that we didn't cover in terms of our survey results on the Affordable Care Act or some other nugget that you gleaned from the survey?
One of the things we asked was, do you think that your family will be better off, worse off, or not affected by the Affordable Care Act? And 24% think that they will be better off, 35% worse off, and 37% not affected. So if you look at sort of not affected and better off, that's 61%. I think that can, that's part of the reason that's driving some of this increase in approval. And that's pretty similar to what we're seeing at the national level too. And that's increased over time, that people are generally starting to think, oh, okay, I'm going to actually might be at least not affected, maybe even better off. But there's a huge partisan divide there too, not surprisingly. 40% of Democrats think they're going to be better off. 64% of Republicans think they're going to be worse off, that their particular family is with the Affordable Care Act.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that the Affordable Care Act actually affects them. They may have insurance or they may be in Medicare. And they say, well, I have Medicare. The Affordable Care Act is irrelevant. I know other people got it confused, and they were in Medicare, and they thought they had to sign up. But what happened is that there's a lot of provisions in the Affordable Care Act that improves insurance. So if you're in Medicare, there was a lot of improvements in Medicare in preventative care and physicals each year and the like. If you were in private insurance, there were improvements as well. For example, there's no annual limit in expenditures that you can have anymore. There's no lifetime limit. And preventative care, you cannot have a copay with preventative kind of care. So all these kinds of things are benefit of that people may not realize comes from the Affordable Care Act.
Let's take a call from Deb in Mequon. Hi, Deb. You're on the air.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
I have a question that nobody seems to be asking or I haven't heard asked regarding the website problems itself, and there's been a lot of emphasis on the problems. My question is, how much of the problems themselves were related to the shutdown of the government, either directly or indirectly regarding staff, personnel, support services, or contractors, or not all, that may have been possibly avoided had the government not been shut down?
Professor Miller?
Well, there may have been a little bit. I don't think the government shutdown really impacted too much the website, only because it was being done by private contractors, and it was being done actually, most of it was done before the shutdown actually took place. I think there were other issues in terms of the number of contractors. And one of the problems with creating any kind of website is that if you have different groups, and this would be different contractors working on different elements, it always becomes very problematic when you put it together. And so that was one of the problems. And another problem was it was rushed, and one of the reasons it was rushed was because the regulations had changed, as well as they weren't sure about what the Supreme Court was doing. And so there was a delay in giving out these contracts.
Yeah. Were we in the field, Wendy, when the news of the delays and the problems were in the news?
Yeah, we were, because we started on the 9th. Yeah. So they had already started at that point.
Yeah. So the but in any case, it didn't necessarily make us feel more negatively about the Affordable Care Act because of that.
No, not really. And in looking through the number one problem for the people who said it was health care, you know, I didn't see at all anybody talking about sort of the accessibility of the website at all. It was more, I hate Obamacare, or I hate that it's being held up, or that, you know, we have a quality issue, call it a cost issue, still in the United States.
Well, we'll pick up on this point after we check the latest news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and we'll continue to take your questions about the Affordable Care Act, your views on the Affordable Care Act. Do you generally support it or oppose it? And why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can find the results of the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey on our website, WPR.org, or on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network. From what you know about the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, would you say that you strongly support, somewhat oppose, or strongly oppose this policy? We asked that question in our most recent Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey, and we are discussing the results during our Big Question segment this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Wednesday, October the 22nd. Most of us in Wisconsin say we support the Affordable Care Act. What about you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also see the results of the WPR St. Norbert survey on our website, WPR.org. We've also posted them on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking about the results and about related issues regarding the Affordable Care Act and its implementation and the problems with the implementation, the website glitches and delays, with our two guests. Wendy Scattergood is an assistant professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere and an associate at the St. Norbert Strategic Research Institute. And Ed Miller is a professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point. Lots of callers, so let's go back to the phones. Rose in Ashland is with us. Hello, Rose.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Morning.
I'll just answer the survey, but then I have a statement. And I do somewhat support the Affordable Care Act, but I don't think it goes far enough. But my statement is about what really baffles me is that people who are against socialized medicine, they don't want to dismantle the veterans' health care, which is socialized medicine. And if you talk to veterans, most of them are happy with their health care. So that argument is kind of like a red herring. It's a distraction, and they don't really mean it.
Thank you, Rose, for the comment. Let me start with Wendy Scattergood on this. Do we know from our survey whether or not some of the disapproval of the Affordable Care Act is that people didn't think it went far enough?
We found that, actually, we asked that before a couple years ago, and we did actually find that there was some, and of course in the national surveys we're finding that too. For the most part, those people that think it doesn't go far enough, for example, in a Kaiser Family Foundation survey that was just done, 7% said that they had an unfavorable impression because they didn't think that it went far enough.
Yeah, so why do you think, Wendy, that Some people say, I don't touch my Medicare. The veterans, health care is good. Don't leave that alone. But I don't want this affordable health care.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it is affect. You know, one of the things that I found interesting, there was a CNBC poll that was done at the end of September where they split their sample in half, and they asked half of the sample, do you support or oppose Obamacare? And then they asked the other half of the sample, do you support or oppose the Affordable Care Act? And they came up with quite different results, which, again, is getting at that sort of emotional appeal rather than the content of the policies. So one of the interesting things is that in those two samples, those who were asked about the Affordable Care Act, actually 30% said that they weren't sure, compared to only 12% saying they weren't sure about Obamacare.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't Jimmy Kimmel go out on the street and got similar
results?
My students
reminded me of that when yes. I told him about this CNBC poll.
Yeah. Well, what do you make of this, Ed Miller?
Right, and I didn't see the NBC poll, but I did see Jimmy Kimmel. people don't have great knowledge of what it is. Why is an interesting question, but people really don't know what it is, and people have various perceptions of it, and a lot of the perceptions are not true. So when you attach it to the term Obamacare, people have a more negative image than when you say the Affordable Care Act.
Well, we have Steve who emails, as someone who strongly supports the Affordable Care Act and sees it as a compromise, I am encouraged by the survey results. I volunteer with an organization that supports seniors' issues, and we had extensive training in Obamacare over the last 2 to 3 years. If people are so against Obamacare, they should first get the facts. I partially blame the administration for not educating people as they should have. What about that, Professor Miller?
Well, that could be. I know they tried. I mean, there was efforts. The president was on a number of times. There were other administration people that have gone around. But yes, that criticism has been made that they did not educate people sufficiently about what it will do, at least in particular, more simplified language so they could understand exactly what it would do and how it improve whether it's Medicare or private insurance.
Do you have a comment on that, Wendy?
Well, and I think part of that is some of the mainstream media and some of the more sort of ideologically biased on both sides of the media that tend to focus more on sort of the drama rather than the substance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if people are watching maybe the nightly news or, you know, some of the more standard channels where they're not really getting that substance. They're getting that emotional appeal of either positive or negative, and then not getting that the fuller context of what's actually in it.
Well,
and what Wendy said, I just want to say what Wendy says, absolutely, I agree with it, true. I mean, this is a problem, you know, people see these clips in the media, and the media emphasizes controversy as opposed to substance.
Well, speaking of substance, and speaking of what I believe was a myth that was expressed by a caller in our last half hour that we didn't have time to really follow up on because we were right before news time. And I'd like to get you both to maybe comment a little bit on this. The caller was, you know, very upset with Congress and thought both parties were bad. And one of the examples he used was Congress exempting itself from Obamacare. And we heard that a lot in this debate. But Ed Miller, that's not entirely true, is it?
No, it's not true at all.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, it's crazy. The people who work for Congress, whether it's individual members' offices or work on committee staffs, all these people are employed by the federal government. So the question is, why shouldn't they receive federal benefits just like people work for the Department of Agriculture? So there was a pressure upon Congress to go into the exchanges. And so Senator from Iowa made the motion that members of Congress would have to go into the exchanges. And so, in effect, members of Congress, determined was that their personal staffs, not committee staffs and staffs like the Library of Congress, but the personal staffs, they will have to go in and buy insurance, buy individual insurance, even though they're in a group, buy individual insurance in the marketplaces. However, because they had received a partial money from their employer, which is the federal government, they will also be able to receive that amount of money from the federal government. So the federal government, just like my employer, State of Wisconsin, provides some of my health care money for premiums. The federal government does as well. And they will still receive that money, but they will have to buy individual policy. However, when they say they exempted themselves, there's other kinds of regulations in the Affordable Care Act. For example, the policies that they're going to be buying, they will be all the requirements, basic services and other things that are required by the Affordable Care Act will impact them just like the average citizen. So the idea that they exempted themselves is simply fallacious.
Wendy?
Yeah, I agree. And one of the problems, again, is that this is, as you just heard the explanation, is very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking at PolitiFact, and, of course, they actually covered this issue, that they thought that, you know, that was out there, and they actually cited some of the sources that were putting this out there, that, you know, sort of Congress had made this sweetheart deal for themselves, and they gave it a pants on fire. So, I mean, there definitely are sources out there that are putting that story out into the media quite a bit, and you know, I don't think that, you know, it's getting quite the pants on fire story is not getting as much coverage as the myth is.
Well, we are doing our part to call out the pants on fire. Let's take a call from Catherine in Appleton. Hello, Catherine.
Good morning. I just want to start by saying that I am an AmeriCorps volunteer, and I am have been signed on as a coordinator of the East Central region here in Wisconsin. And that's, you know, to get the factual information out. And, you know, I just want to say it's interesting that, you know, on the Republican side, they're all saying, you know, the website doesn't work. However, on the Democratic side, we're saying, well, geez, it doesn't work because so many want health care. And it's an exciting problem, although it's very frustrating for us. We want to let people know that the paper applications are out there. We encourage people to fill out the paper applications and submit them. And their information is actually then being inputted by CMS into the system, in which time someone will call these people back and help them register online or, you know, hopefully, or over the phone. Because the phone lines are open. They're waiting for people to call in. So just encouraging people, you know, don't be discouraged. There is a way to move forward with this, at least their name registered, and to just be patient because it will happen. Preventative care is you can't see the benefits of it right away. It's a long-term thing, and you know, we will see the benefits of this law, you know, maybe 10 and 20 years down the road. People need to be patient, and so are the Republicans.
Thank you, Catherine. We have a break, so we'll get our guest to respond, and we will take more of your calls in just a moment. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking about the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare and our survey results on whether we support or oppose it. We are talking with Wendy Scattergood, who is our analyst for our St. Norbert College, Wisconsin Public Radio, Wisconsin survey that we do every spring and fall. And Ed Miller is a professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our big question segment, and we are talking about the Affordable Care Act. Our big question is, do you support or oppose it, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. That was one of our questions in our Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll that we are releasing this week. We have posted the results on our website, WPR.org, and on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are discussing the results on the Affordable Care Act during this hour. Tomorrow we have some more survey results and the issues behind the survey results to discuss. We'll talk about, during this time, we're going to talk more about gridlock in Congress and maybe what can break the gridlock in Congress. And we will talk about whether we blame Republicans or Democrats or both or President Obama for the government shutdown that we just went through. So that's tomorrow at this time. Talking Affordable Care Act with Ed Miller and Wendy Scattergood. And our next caller is Jim in Saukville. Hello, Jim.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm a supporter of Obamacare, although I feel that it doesn't go far enough, and I would have supported a single payer if that would have been an option. And I just wondered if anyone has done the numbers, and you know, it just seems absurd to me that we've ended up with a system where you have a group of people, the insurance industry, that profits off the health of other human beings. And when I think of all the money that my employer pays in, all the money that I pay in, wouldn't the economy be so much better off if that money was in our pockets and it was spent on things? You know, we bought things, we hired people. It just seems like a tremendous burden for everyone to pay for the benefit of the insurance industry so that they can build more, you know, massive, new, beautiful buildings.
Thank you, Jim. And because we do have limited time, maybe, Ed Miller, maybe you can want to comment on whether we'd be better off with single payer or not. But why don't we have it? What happened with
the we don't have single payer because it's politically opposed. I mean, they could not get through single payer. There's no question, as Jim says, that single payer, they just look at the administrative costs in Canada or the administrative costs with Medicare. They're much lower than the administrative costs with insurance. However, in the Affordable Care Act, there is a limit, and the limit is that insurance companies must pay 85% of the premiums in benefits. And last year, because of that, a number of insurance companies had to send rebate checks back to their to the policyholders because they weren't spending the 85% on benefits. And so there is some limit to administrative costs that they can have.
Yeah. And just as a reminder, Wendy, for listeners just joining us, there was a kind of a surprising result in our poll that it wasn't single payer, but there's quite a bit of support for a public option, wasn't there?
Yeah, 70% said that they favored offering a federal government insurance plan to everyone, similar to Medicare.
Yeah. Well, is there any chance, Ed Miller, of this morphing into something more of a single payer?
Yes, there's a possibility because technically there is a requirement that each area that offers insurance and not only each state, but it could be divided into areas, offer a co-op plan. And this was developed with the idea, and we've got a couple co-ops actually in Wisconsin, one well-known one in Madison, but a co-op plan. Now it's not a public plan, but it is a co-op plan, and we're just seeing those to be administered in a number of them, but we still don't have them in a number of areas. But the co-op plan was supposed to be the substitute for the public option.
I forgot that to thank Rose, who called just before our break time, who wanted to say that people could sign up on paper or call still with the various website issues going on with the healthcare exchanges.
Yeah, one of the problems, you know, in terms of the website and what Rose was talking about, is that it was not anticipated at all that the federal government would be essentially running the exchanges for 36 states. It was anticipated that the states, many of the states, would run their own plans. And interestingly enough, Republicans, who have argued that things should be at the state level, not at the federal level, those were the governors that went against running their own exchanges, including the state of Wisconsin, that had received a substantial amount of money as to be a demonstration project for the exchange.
So are these problems with the website just a PR nightmare, or is this a sign of some sort of serious flaw?
But the flaw, I mean, the flaw isn't in the Affordable Care Act. Yeah. I think the flaw is in the technology in designing the website.
So there have been calls from some Republicans to fire Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. What do you suppose?
She didn't write it. I mean, she was managing it. That's true. Now we have somebody who they're bringing in to manage it, as was mentioned a couple minutes ago. But I don't think she should be fired on the basis of that. She was managing it. But the individuals writing the website, you know, Wall Street Journal, for example, looked at this and said a lot of the code was really poorly done in this website, and it was done by different coders or different organizations. So, but it's not unusual. The University of Wisconsin was trying to create a personnel system, and it was over a 10-year period that they couldn't create this personnel system. You would think that there was no state that had a university that had a personnel system, but it took them over 10 years to get any kind of personnel system to substitute for an archaic, they said, system for the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Wendy, any comment on the problems with the website?
Well, I think that that'll be solved over time. It is kind of surprising that we're hearing all the information about it using such old code. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how they pull that out, and then when we pull this in the spring, to see how those answers will differ.
Let's go to Art and Abrams. Hi, Art.
Hi, good morning. Two observations. One is that my feeling is that if this the way that this has been rolled out is so flawed that it almost seems as though the intent is to crash the system to the point where ultimately the people start crying for a solution, and Obama then turns around and says, okay, it's time for single payer. And I think that the insurance companies and everybody else who went along with the Affordable Care Act are going to be taken to the cleaners, just like the people that have been trying to sign up. And that's my second point is that the people that have been trying to sign up have been finding out if you open this up like on a market basis, the market is speaking right now, and the market is basically telling people you can't afford this. They can't afford the deductibles, and they can't afford the monthly premiums on this, and so that's why you're seeing such a pathetically low percentage of people signing up after.
Thank you, Art. I'm sorry, because we're almost at news time, and I want to get a quick react from our guests. So the Affordable Care Act is not affordable, according to Art Ed Miller.
Right. Well, for some people it may not be, but in generally it is. You have to look at what you're buying, for one, and so the kind of service you're buying. But the other thing, you've got to look at the bottom line, because a substantial amount of that is actually subsidized, up to 400% of the federal poverty line, which is for a family of four, it's $94,000. All those people will have some subsidy for that. And so there's a substantial amount of that. And in terms of the website, it's very similar. It's somewhat similar, a little more complicated than the drug benefit. When the drug benefit came out for Medicare, people had to go to a website and decide on what plan to use. And that was complicated because in that case, you had to put in your drugs, because one plan may cover your drugs and another may not cover all your drugs, and therefore your out-of-pocket costs would be substantially higher. So the website was used there, although it had problems at the beginning, but people didn't manage.
Well, we'll have to leave it there for now. Ed Miller, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Ed Miller, professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point, and Wendy Scattergood with St. Norbert College, thank you very much. We will talk to you again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Wendy Scattergood is our analyst for the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey. This is the Ideas Network.